During Atheres Mei Tshuva, a person is supposed to look at himself as a Beinoni. The Rishoim have already been written, the Tzadikim have already been written. The Beinim, Chazal tell us, are Tluim Vo'imdim. It's still hanging in the balance. The Loshen Chazal is an interesting Loshen, Tluim Vo'imdim. And the Baalei Mussar explain, it means literally what it says. The woman standing in Atheres Mei Tshuva, a person has to look at himself as if he is standing on a chair. His head is in the noose. And all that needs to be done is to pull the chair away. Tzluyim, hanging, vo'emdim, and standing. Standing, and a person has to feel that fear during a Atheres Mei Tshuva. And sometimes a person can be miyayish. It can make a person give up hope. He doesn't know what's going to be with him. So I think it's important to begin with some divrei chizuk. Pasuk in Malachi says, Oz nidbaru yirei Hashem ish el reyehu. The yirei Hashem, they discussed together. They spoke yirei Shemayim. Vayakshev Hashem v'yishma. Hashem listens. Vayikosev, safe as he koren afonov. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes in a book, Ligir Hashem, those people that fear Hashem. So it tells us in that pasuk, when yirei Hashem are talking to each other, when discussing how to improve yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening. But even more than that, Vayikosev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes it down. He writes it in a safe as Zikorim. And so the fact that you come to listen today, you're coming to improve your Shemayim, your Avodas Hashem. Hashem right now is writing this down. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will look at this when he judges us. As the Pasuk continues and says, V'chamalti aleihem, kasha yachmol ish al benoi. I'll have compassion on them, like a father has compassion on a son. So if a person manages to stay awake for the whole Shmuz today, that alone is a tremendous chus for him. The Mishnah tells us, Ma mikveh metaris atameim, just like a mikveh is metaris people that are tomei, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu metaris Yisrael, so to HaKadosh Baruch Hu purifies the Yid. Tshuva cleanses us like a mikveh. The Neisoscha tells us, the minimum amount of water needed for a mikveh is 40 saw. Every saw has in it 24 lug. So 24 lug times 40 saw is 960 lug in a mikveh. Corresponding to this, there are 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur. Each of those 40 days has 24 hours. 40 days times 24 hours equals 960 hours. So those 960 hours, each of those hours corresponds to the 960 lug in a mikveh. Each hour of Atheres Mei Tshuva cleanses us, is metayer us, until we reach Yom HaKippurim, until we reach the level of Lifnei Hashem Titoru. In Shulchan Aruch it tells us that a person should mekabel extra chumras during Atheres Mei Tshuva. Somebody is not normally makbid concerning pas palta to eat pass from a goy, should be makbid during Atheres Mei Tshuva to eat pas Yisrael. But what's the point of taking on chumras at this time? What's the point of it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows right afterwards you're going back to your old ways, trying to kid the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we can understand it. Imagine a person, story a person, he broke the Olympic world record for high jump. He jumped 8 foot 2 inches. 8 years later, he came back to the Olympics to watch. And the announcer says, the next person who's going to jump is going to try and break the previous world record held by so-and-so. And he listed the name of the person who held the record. And this man was watching in the stands. There was a person who was sitting near to him. He turns to his friend and he says, look over there, that man. Here's the person. Here's the world record holder for high jump. And his friend says to him, that's impossible. He's overweight, he's unfit, there's no way it could be him. He says, no, you don't understand. 8 years ago, he ate right, he worked out, he was training, he was focused, and he was able to do it. In life, when we have the right circumstances, we can also accomplish unbelievable things. So Hashem gave us a time period to focus on one goal, one mission. Let go of the mundane things in your life. And so we take on extra chumras. Yes, Hashem knows we're going to go back to our old ways, but it's to show us what we can do, what is possible for us to achieve. And then our job is, during the year, to work back, to get back to that level again. There's a Pasuk in Kehelet that says, Al Taimer, don't ask a question. Don't ask, how come the earlier days were better than these? It's not a good question. It's not a smart question. Why isn't it? If things were better earlier, why isn't that a smart question? So, of course, Mepharshim explained the Pasuk. But you could understand the Pasuk I once heard like this. Very often, when we do things in life, we're inspired. And we start off, it goes very well at the beginning. People want to finish the Masechta, and it goes unbelievable. And the inspiration wears off. It doesn't go so well later on. It fizzles out, those feelings. Al Taimer, it's a statement. Don't say, you're asking, how come at the beginning, when I began, things went so well, I was so inspired? It wasn't your wisdom that did it. It wasn't you that was doing it. You borrowed it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lent it to you. He gave you a special siyata yitishmaya at the beginning that things should go well. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us that siyata yitishmaya to show us what we can achieve. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away this siyata yitishmaya. Now you have to do it on your own. Elisha says, Lo yizeh haderech. This is not the way. V'lo yizeh ha'ir. And this is not the city. That we see from this, there's a city, a goal, and we have to reach that goal. And then there's a derech, a path to get to that goal. What is our goal now, and how do we reach it? So the Maaseh Yesharim writes, right at the beginning, what's hashleimus hamiti? What is complete perfection? It's rak hadveikus boy. It's hadveikus with Hashem Yisbarach. So obviously, that is our goal. Dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean? But I want to show you also that right now you can see clearly that that is our goal. There's a story that was Erev Yom Kippur. And the Gaboy Tzedakah gets a knock at his door. The Yidei says he needs money. He doesn't have anything in his house. No food to eat. There's no money, no food to buy. There's no money to buy food for the Suda Mafsekas. They're going to go hungry into Yom Kippur. So the Gabbat Stalker says, I'm sorry, I don't have any money left. I gave out all the money I collected. And I can't go and collect more money. I've already collected from everybody who there is to collect from. So the man is saying, but what am I going to do? We're going to go hungry. The Gabbat Stalker feels bad and he says, there are certain Yidden in town who I'm from. He never went collecting to them. They also have a good heart. He'll go to them. He feels bad. Normally he doesn't go to them. He'll go to them. So he goes to the house of these people. And each one he comes to the house, the wife tells him he's not home, he's at the bar. He's in the bar. So he feels he has no choice. He goes to the bar. And they see him coming. They think he'll have some fun with this guy coming. So he goes over to them. He tells them the story. He needs money. Poor person. So one of them says to him, no problem. I'm willing to help you. All you have to do is see this little bottle of schnapps here. Drink this bottle of schnapps and I'll give you 10 rubles. So the Gabbat Stalker thinks, Erev Yom Kippur, I'm going to drink a bottle of schnapps. On the other hand, this Yid has nothing to eat. So he has no choice. He drinks the bottle of schnapps. Then another one says to him, you drink another bottle like that, I'll give you another 10 rubles. And again, he feels, this Yid won't have what to eat. He drinks another bottle. 20 rubles is not enough. Another one offers another 10 and another 10. And he drinks 4 bottles of schnapps. And then he goes to this man's house. He gives him the money. By the time he gets home, he's already singing songs. He's happy already. He eats his own Suda Mafsekas. He's walking to shul. He's staggering, collapsing on the way. He can hardly walk. People walk past him. And they cannot understand this is how Yid behaves on Erev Yom Kippur. He gets to the shul. He falls and collapses on the steps. And people are stepping over him. What is with this man? They can smell that schnapps, that alcohol all over him. What is with him? How could he be like this? They go into shul, he lies outside. And they're davening. In the middle of Kol Nidre, he wakes up. He rushes into the shul, pulls open the Arik Kodesh, and he screams out, Ator Reisol Adas! And he starts doing Simchas Torah davening. Ki Hashem Elokim Eino Et Milvadoi. The people are about to pounce on him. The Rav says, leave him alone. This Yid was already holding by Atareisa. What does it mean, this story? So I'll explain it to you, we can understand it, with the minhagim we have at this time of year. Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman says over, in Yemei Slichas, we open the Oren. We start opening the Oren. Shema Keleinu, we open the Oren. Then comes Erev Rosh Hashanah, we open the Oren even more in Slichas. On Rosh Hashanah, we're constantly opening the Oren. And during Aseres Meitshuv also, Avin Malkeinu, She'am Malz Mimakim, we're constantly opening and closing the Oren. We get to Sukkot, we get to Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, we're opening the Oren so much that by the time we get to Ne'ilah, we leave the Oren open for the whole Tefillah. We reach the level where it's open the whole Tefillah. Then comes Sukkot. And on Sukkot, not only do we open the Oren, by Hashanahs we take out one of the Sifrei Torah. Comes Hashanah Rabbah, we take out all the Sifrei Torah. Comes Simchas Torah, we take out all the Sifrei Torah, and we dance with the Sifrei Torah. We say, Atareisa L'Das, Ki Hashem Olekim, Eino Edel Vadei. We've reached the highest level. What does that mean, that's the highest level? It means the word on Yom Kippur already, we said Hashem Hu Olekim. What are we adding when we say Atareisa L'Das, Ki Hashem Hu Olekim? What is more than the Hashem Hu Olekim that we said in Yom Kippur? But we're adding something. Atareisa L'Das, Ki Hashem Hu Olekim. Das is a lashon of chibur. It's a lashon of love. So we're not just recognizing Hashem Hu Olekim, but we feel a relationship. We feel that attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's where we see that on Sukkot, we bring 70 cows, karbonas, representing the 70 nations. When it comes to Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah, we bring one cow, representing Klal Yisrael, to show how we're going to spend the Yom Tov alone, just us and Borei Olam together. That we have this special relationship now with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You've heard already the word from the Sapper Rav that says, May Reishis Hashanah. The Pasuk says, Ad Achris Shana. The Pasuk begins Reishis Hashanah, but ends with the words Achris Shana. Why the change? And the Sapper Rav explains that when you begin the year, it's a tremendous slavas, excitement, inspiration. It's going to be the year. This is Hashanah. This is going to be the year. But then those feelings dissipate, and it ends off Achris Shana, just like every other year. Few people hold on to the inspiration. As I once heard somebody give a bracha to somebody else, may your tzaras last as long as your New Year resolutions. What can we do to make this year different? First and foremost, we have to get to the root of the problem and change direction. When Yaakov was on his way to Eretz Yisrael, the Melochim of Eretz Yisrael came to greet him and accompany him. And the Ramban asked the Kasha. At that moment, he was very far from Eretz Yisrael. So why are they coming to accompany him already? The answer is that since he was heading to Eretz Yisrael, it's as if he was there already. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, Kirchoik Mizrach Mimarif, Hirchim Imenu Peshoenu. As far as east is from west, Hashem distanced us from our sins. Why does David use an analogy of east and west, and not heaven and earth? Heaven and earth are much more distant. And the Pasuk says right before that, Chikigvoya Shemayim ala Oretz, Kein Gova Chasta al Yireov, for as high as heaven is above earth. It uses an analogy of heaven and earth. The answer is that heaven and earth are places. East and west are directions. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants when it comes to Averas, the main thing is not distance, but to change direction. And that is how we will distance ourselves from our chet. On Erev Yom Kippur, we have a mitzvah. A mitzvah of the yeshiva bochrim, that is the mitzvah of the year, to eat. And he goes and he eats and he eats and he eats. A mitzvah after all. Come Sudam of Sekis, it's not even easy to eat it. Been eating all day already. But a person's moist and nefesh, Sudam of Sekis. He eats, he comes into shul, Yom Kippur, he can hardly walk. He's patting his stomach, he has to open his belt a couple of notches. It's feeling very geschmack. We get to Ma'arif, Shema, Baruch Shein, tremendous roar. Everybody screams out. Why? A malach. We're like malachim. We can say Baruch Shein loudly. You can hardly walk, but you're a malach. The next day he gets up and he dams a shachris. He davens tshuva, tfilet, stok al chet over and over again. The avoid of the kohen gadol in Yom Kippur, avinu malkeinu, and the ilah, comes to Maariv Matzis Yom Kippur. All day is fasting, is davening. Comes to Shema, Baruch Shem, silent. Not a malach anymore. What's the pshat? The night before we could hardly move, he was a malach. And now, as our tzaddik has been davening, fasting all day, is not a malach. And the answer is obvious. That when a person comes into Yom Kippur, when a person eats the sulam of sekes, a tear drops into the soup. He knows where he's heading. He's heading into Yom Kippur. But I'm not going to ask you what you're thinking in Maariv Matzis Yom Kippur. Where are you heading then? You're heading right back to that food again. The main thing is the direction of where you're heading. Imagine you're at a train station in Chicago, and you need to get a train to New York. And you see two trains in front of you. They're 20 feet apart. What's the difference which one you take? They're only 20 feet apart. But one is heading to L.A., and one is heading to New York. They might look like they're 20 feet apart, but you get in the wrong train, they're 3,000 miles apart. Rabbi Yankel Galinsky once asked the Stipler, how is it possible to acquire Memches Kinyoni Torah? To have Torah, we have to acquire Torah. And there's Memches Kinyonim. You look at those Memches Kinyonim. It's so difficult. How is it possible for Yid ever to get Torah? So the Stipler said to him, what happens when a person comes to a store and he wants to buy something, he doesn't have the money. He can put down a deposit. And the storekeeper will give him the item in advance already. And it's the same with Torah. You've got to show that you're interested. Show you're starting the Memches Kinyonim. Put down a deposit. You're heading in the direction, and Hashem will give it in advance. So in what way can we change direction? What way should we change direction? And we have to change, like we said, our tachlis is dveikus. We have to change from being an FFR, from rote, to be an FFH, from heart. We have to stop doing mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are noshim lamodah. And put feeling, passion, enthusiasm into doing mitzvahs. We say in davening, v'dabik libeinu b'mitzvah yisecha. We should put our hearts into the mitzvahs. A person can live without many of his body parts, but he cannot live without a heart. The heart is the life of the body. And so too, mitzvahs need lev. A dried up lulav is possible, says the Yerushalmi, because loy ha-mesim yehaleluka. Our mitzvahs cannot be mesim. They have to be vibrant, alive. V'chai bohem. We have to live with the mitzvahs. A person on a respirator is alive, but is that alive? Our goal is to reach the level of atah reis ledaas, to feel a love and connection with Borei Olam. The parsha of the Teichacha says that all these tragedies will befall us. Im loy tishmu'uli. If you don't listen to me, the Teichacha will happen. A few psukim later, it says in the Teichacha, why do the tragedies happen? Tachas ashlei vadata es Hashem elekecha besimcha v'tuv levov. Because you didn't do mitzvahs besimcha. It means you kept the mitzvahs. It was tishmu'uli. You listened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You didn't do them besimcha. Which one is it? It's a contradiction. And the answer is, the Teichacha comes for not listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what was the cause? How come we didn't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It all began, the root cause of it was, because you didn't do the mitzvahs besimcha. Reb Moshe Feinstein said over many times, that how come in the 1920s, so many people were moisa nefesh for Yiddishkeit? Every Shabbos, they would give up and lose their jobs in order to keep Shabbos. And their children went off the derech. And he said the reason is because they kept Yiddishkeit, but they did it with a mesiras nefesh, with a krechs. They used to say, Shver Tzayin Yid. And that caused their children not to be interested. We have to do mitzvahs, besimcha. Chazal tell us that we sometimes called bonim, as the pasuk says, bonim atem l'Hashem alakeichem, and sometimes we're called avodim. So the Gemara says, what's pshat? The Gemara explains, if we're doing Ratzon Hashem, we're called bonim. We're not doing Ratzon Hashem, we're called avodim. Now this is difficult to understand. If we're not doing Ratzon Hashem, why are we called avodim? An eved does the Ratzon of his master. So obviously, the eved is also doing Ratzon Hashem. What does it mean when Chazal say we're not doing Ratzon Hashem? What it means is, when a son does something for his father, he does it because he wants to do it. He does it because he cares about his father. He has a relationship with his father. So when you do the mitzvahs like Bonim, that's called you're doing Ratzon Hashem. When you do them like an Evet, when you do the mitzvahs, but you're doing it because you have to do it, that's called not doing Ratzon Hashem. If we want to be Zoyecha to Rachmim, we have to act like Bonim. Like the pasuk I mentioned, Malachi says earlier, Kasha Yachmoil Ish Al Benoi. We want compassion from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like a father has to his son. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that when the averus and mitzvahs of a person are equal, Hashem will tip the scale in his favor. How does he do that? So Gemara explains, one view is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove some averus. And the other mandama says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will add mitzvahs. So we can certainly understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove averus. He'll be moichel those averus. But how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu add mitzvahs? If you didn't come to davening one day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't write down that you came to davening. So how is it possible to add mitzvahs? Which mitzvahs does HaKadosh Baruch Hu add? So we can understand it. The Halach in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes that when you're giving a hesped for somebody, you shouldn't lie at all. But you can exaggerate a little bit. And the Taz asks the obvious question. Mali sheker cotton, mali sheker godel. What's the difference between a big lie and a little lie? You can't say big lies about him, little lies you could. What's the pshat? The Taz explains, I'll explain you the Taz's answer. Let's say a person goes to a Dafa Yoimi Shir. And the Dafa Yoimi Shir takes an hour. One day, the Magid Shir says, I don't feel we're getting the Daf clear enough. We're going to learn it more Be'in. From now on, the Daf of Yom Yishir is going to be 2 hours. He says, I have 2 hours to meet every night. I'm going to find another Daf of Yom Yishir. And he finds another Daf of Yom Yishir. If the Magid Shir would have come and said, I'm not going to do it for an hour, I'm going to do it for an hour and a quarter. The man then might have said, you know what, it's not going to be easy for me, but an hour and a quarter, I like this Magid Shir, I'll manage, I'll stay. Or imagine if somebody comes and he says to you, I need money. Tzom Cheshabbos, so many families don't have what to eat. And you give the man $100. And he says, perhaps things are so difficult. He explains the situation, how hard it is now. Maybe you can give $1,000. He says, I'm not Baron Rothschild. I can't give $1,000. Had the man said to him, maybe you could give $110, he would have given it. So says the Taz, those mitzvahs, those you can exaggerate about. You're giving a hesped about the person. So those mitzvahs, in the right circumstances, he would have done. So you're allowed to say it's as if he did those mitzvahs. And those are the mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can add to the scale. The mitzvahs that you would have done had the right opportunity occurred. So that means when a person is rid of mitzvahs, he's excited about mitzvahs, he's besimcha about mitzvahs, you could be sure that many mitzvahs will be added to your cheshbon because you would have done those mitzvahs. But there's another advantage as well. When you're doing mitzvahs besimcha, when you have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, enthusiasm is very catchy. And through it, it will influence other people. The Chayv Salvava says, Af ima'odam hagia ledarugel yoina b'yoisa b'tikon ishmosei. If a person reaches the highest level that's possible, ein z'chuyois of megiois, those chusim don't equal. To a person who put other people in the right direction, because those mitzvahs multiply constantly. Every mitzvah the other person does, who you encourage to do the mitzvahs, they're counted for you. It's as if you did those mitzvahs. Imagine how much chusim you can get. So when you act and do mitzvahs with enthusiasm, and other people do it and copy you, imagine the chusim involved. Imagine the two workers in a company. One of them is punctual, always there on time, never leaves early, doesn't waste any time, doesn't waste company money at all. He's not on his cell phone part of the time. And then there's another one. He's very sloppy in his work. He's always late. He sits on the computer in the company time for his own benefit. And he doesn't seem to be working properly at all. And one day, this sloppy worker, he gets a huge raise, a promotion. And this worker, the good worker, doesn't understand it. He goes to the boss. It doesn't make sense at all. I work so hard. I'm so punctual. I'm a good worker. What does he do? And you give him a raise. Why didn't I get the raise? Why didn't I get the promotion? You have to choose between the two of us. It should have been me. He said, you don't understand, he says. Our company over here is we're looking for alternative energies. And he came up with an idea. This idea that he had is going to make the company grow unbelievably. Because of him, this company is going to be successful. Your job is only because of him. So obviously, he gets the raise. He's building the company. A yid can make mistakes in life. How could a Baruch Hu understand a person can do averas? But if a person does mitzvahs with his lavas, other people see him, and they get affected by him. He's building up the company. When he's building up the company, he's influencing others. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu can look away from the averas. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Ashrei Ish Yoreis Hashem, forced is the person who fears Hashem, b'mitzvosav chofetz mo'od. He has a great desire for mitzvahs. And the next Pasuk says after that, you know what happens? A person who has a great desire for mitzvahs? It says, Giboy ba'oretz yezaroi. His children will be wonderful as well. Have great children. Chazal, though, say on that Pasuk, b'mitzvosav chofetz mo'od is doing the mitzvahs? B'mitzvosav. V'loi b'schar mitzvosav. He has to be doing it for the sake of the mitzvahs, but not for the schar. Why is that? Because if the father is doing it for the schar of the mitzvahs, so the son sees, oh, you like that schar, that's why he's doing the mitzvahs. I have other schar that I like. I have other things that I enjoy better than that. So therefore, I'm not so interested as you are. But when he sees the father doing it because he loves the mitzvahs, that is going to change the son. Imagine you come into a dark room at night. You turn on the light, and now you look outside. And when you try and see outside, it's light in the room, and outside is pitch black. You can't see anything outside at all. However, people who are outside, they can see into your room. People who are far away can see your light a mile away. They can see the light of your room. And so it is with a person. When you do mitzvahs, there's a tremendous oir around you. It lights you up. You don't see that oir. You don't realize what oir you have. But people around you, they see that oir, and it affects them. We live in a doir, and particularly you live in a doir, with its tremendous distractions. You have with video iPods, with the cell phones, with the internet, there's so much out there. Tuma is available at the click of a button. Rav Pam said more than 20 years ago that people compare our doir to doir hamabel. And listen to the words of Rav Pam. This is an insult to doir hamabel. Their sins pale in comparison to the rampant immorality of our times. Imagine what he was saying 20 years ago. What would Rav Pam say today? The only way to hold on to Yiddishkeit, there's only one way, and that is to see the beauty of Yiddishkeit, to work on doing mitzvahs with simcha, with eslavas. When a person walks out during davening, how much is he affecting other people? When other people see him outside, when a person is schmoozing to somebody outside during davening, look at the effect you're having on other people. Look what you're bringing down around you. How interested are they going to be in tefillah when you're saying, oh, slichas is so long today? You've got to think about it. What effect you could have on other people and what effect you are having on other people. When you moan about the story, when you moan about how long the day is, nightside is too much for me. I'm too tired. You have to realize how much you can affect other people and affect yourself as well. You have to learn to do mitzvahs with simcha. There's a medrash in Shir Hashirim, famous story. There was a couple that had no children. Many, many years. They came to Rav Shimon bar Yochai and they said to Rav Shimon bar Yochai, we have no children. And the husband is a mitzvah, a pru revu, so would like to get divorced. So Rav Shimon bar Yochai says, when you're getting divorced, this is not a regular divorce. Getting divorced is a mitzvah. You're doing mamash l'shem mitzvah to be able to have children. So he says, just like when you got married, it was a mitzvah and you did a besimcha. When you get divorced as well, you have to do a besimcha. You have to make a big party. So they sent out invitations. I'm not sure exactly the lashon they wrote on the invitations. Everybody's cordially invited. And I imagine there was a shmog before the ceremony, dancing after the ceremony. I also don't know what songs they sang there. But It was a great party. The husband was getting a little high. And he says to his wife, it's already his ex-wife, he says to her, you know, we had a wonderful life together, and now you're going to be leaving this house. I'd like you to take something home, a memento, a souvenir from the house, whatever you want, you can take home with you. And then the party was over, and the husband was already drunk. He's lying on the floor asleep. And the wife now, she has to take something home. So she tells her avodim to take home the husband back to her father's house. That's what she chose. That's what she chose. He wakes up in the morning, asks, where am I? She says, in my father's house. He said, but what am I doing here? So she said, you said I could choose whatever I want. There's nothing I want more than you. So now they had a dilemma. What do they do now? They went back to Rav Shimon bar Yochai. And when Rav Shimon bar Yochai saw what type of people these people are, he gave them a bracha. And they were zeich and they had children. This part of the Medrash many people know, but the Medrash continues. This part that people don't know so well. The Medrash continues and says, if a person said to a person, Ein li chevetz bo'olam tov mimcha, there's nothing in the world I want more than you. Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, hamachakim li Yeshuas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who are all looking for Yeshua from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On a national level, on an individual level, we all want Yeshuas. B'chol yoyim, v'oimrim, if we would say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eilonu chefes toiv v'oilom ela ato, all we care about in the world, Ribbono Shel Olam, is you. Al achas kama v'kama, how much more so we would have a Yeshua. If this is how we would feel and we would act, you can be sure we'll be zeicher to Yeshuas. Reb Chaim Brisker would say over a story, he would say it over with great emotion, of how one time the Netziv and Reb Yisroel Chon Inspector went to St. Petersburg to speak to a government official. And they got delayed when they were there, and they were stuck there for Rosh Hashanah. And they had to find a minyan to daven in. And it wasn't easy finding a minyan. And these were people who are used to kilus gedoles, to yeshivas and davening in. And now they're going to have to find some minyan. And all they were able to find was a minyan of Cantonists. Those are the children who are kidnapped by the Tsar and taken into the army. And their Yiddishkeit is totally wiped out. They would be there for at least 25 years. And these Yidden had some memory of Rosh Hashanah, and they'd wanted to make a minyan. They put this minyan together. And this is the minyan that Itziv and Yitzchok Chanan came to. And they're davening in this minyan. And then during davening, one of the Cantonists got up to give a drosha. And his great Rabbonim were fascinated to see, what are they going to say? What drosh is he going to give? A total Amar Oretz. What is he going to say to the people? It's not his fault, but he doesn't know anything. And the Cantonist gets up and he gives a drosh. He said, what do people daven for in Rosh Hashanah? Bonei, chai, omezoine. They daven bonei for children. We, to pastor, daven for children? That's pointless. We're not allowed to get married. We're stuck here in the army. We're never getting married. So we don't have to daven for children. To daven for mezoine food, the Tsar provides us. What we need every day, we get our rations. It's staying the same. It's not changing. This is our panosa. Chai, to have a good life? Impossible. It's going to be a miserable life. Every day we have to risk our lives. We can't expect a good life. So what do we have left to daven for? There's only one thing we can daven for. Iskadal yiskadash shemei rabo. To sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. They felt that connection with Borei Olam. We began today with Divrei Chizuk. Oz Nidbru Yirei Hashem. With that posuk, when Yirei Hashem speak to each other. How that's written down. It's written in a Sefer Zikorin. There's a posuk at the end of Daniel that speaks about a terrifying time. There's going to be a time of an Eis Tzara. Asher lo neyesa, there never was. Me yois goy ado Eis Hahi. There never was such a tragic time from the beginning of time until then. Yimolik amcho. There are certain people who are going to escape. Who are those people who are going to be saved in this terrifying time? Kol hanimsa k'suva ba'sefer. All those written in the book. Which book? And the Mefarshim discuss it. The Malbim says, which book is it? Vayikosef Sefer Zikorin. That Pasuk Malachi, Oz Nidbru Yirei Hashem. Those ones who are written at Sefer Zikorin, those are the ones who are going to be saved. At this moment, we are being written in a book. So we have to put into practice what we spoke about. We have to put more lev into our mitzvahs. To feel, Eini chefetz toiv mimcha. There's nothing we want more than a relationship with Borei Olam. To reach the level of Ata Horeso L'Das, to feel that connection, that Das, that Chibur with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not to be FFRs from road. We have to have that Dveikus B'Hashem. And to do that, we have to change direction. Kirchoik Mizrach Mimariv. And the next Pasuk says after that, Kirachim of Albonim. If we turn from Mizrach to Mariv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachmonos on us, like Na'av Albonim, Richem Hashem Al Yoreov. Hashem will have Rachmonos on those that fear Him. As the year begins now, with Rishis Hashanah, this is going to be the year. We have our goals, our aspirations. Let's make sure that this year will end, Achris Hashanah, as it says in Kedusha of Musaf, Hein goalti eschem, acharis kereishis. When will the gula come? When the acharis, when the end of the year, is kereishis as like the beginning. Then the gula will come. And then Mitzvah Hashem will be zeicher to the ultimate gula of yiru ineinu v'yismach libeinu v'sogil nafshenu b'shoscha b'emes v'gula shleima b'mehir v'yameinu amein.